Hi again. It's your weekly horoscope columnist, Christopher Renstrom, back to share with you some pretty exciting news. You will soon have a chance to study with me in my upcoming course, The Cosmic Calendar, produced here at Astrology Hub. The Cosmic Calendar is designed to teach you how to turn your birth chart into a personal calendar, one that's uniquely aligned to your natural flow and personal seasons. You'll be able to look at the year ahead and know exactly how to plan your life. Whether you're looking to launch a business, dive back into the dating pool, or finally get around to writing that book you said you'd get around to writing one day, the Cosmic Calendar will help you to identify the best times of year to pursue your dreams. So if you want to be the first to know more about the Cosmic Calendar, then sign up for the waitlist now at astrologyhub.com/cosmicwaitlist. Again, that's astrologyhub.com/cosmicwaitlist. I am so looking forward to seeing you there.
Welcome to your weekly astrological weather. This is your place to get practical guidance for not only surviving with the cosmic tides, but thriving with them. My name is Amanda Poole Walsh. I'm the founder of Astrology Hub, and I am so thrilled to be here today with astrologer, podcast host, and audiobook narrator, Thomas Miller. And we had an amazing episode with Thomas last week where I got to introduce him to all of you and to share his story, which is so intriguing and compelling. I highly encourage you to go back to episode number 422. That's a cool number, Thomas. That's
it is.
422 to learn more about Thomas and his approach to astrology, how he became an astrologer, the type of astrology he practices, and lots of amazing stories. And our community has responded so beautifully to you, Thomas. So I am just super grateful to have you here for the weekly weather this week and can't wait to get your read on what's coming.
Thank you. Well, you couldn't have picked a better week because we've got to put our roller skates on. We've got a lot to talk about.
Okay, let's do it. All right, so let's start with the big picture of the week ahead and just getting your sense for the overarching themes and how the energy is going to move. And then we can get into some more specifics.
Great. Perfect. Thank you. And I'd like to talk to you about a couple of things that you've seen here too as well. So always it's great when you're starting to take a look at the week to, I like to say, let's jump in the Astrology Hub helicopter and go up to 10,000 feet here and let's look down and kind of see what we're looking at. And then we'll zoom that helicopter down into the weeds and we'll get into the day by day. And basically, don't worry about the time here. We're going to go a little long for the first few days of the week, and then we'll move through the last few days really fast. So don't think that we're going to set the pace of this podcast from the first few days, because we're going to need to let that soak a little bit. And then we basically have a couple of moon sign changes and Mercury aspect on Sunday, and we'll be out of here. Okay.
We're going to
heavy up on the first few days of the week, because that's where the astrology is. I know you like to do a theme of the week. Mm-hmm. So we talked about this in the other episode last week, 422. I still am sticking with go big, go deep or go home. You know, it's a playoff of go big or go home, but go deep or go home. And I know you like to ask about the intensity factor, and I think we should stick with a really high one here. Mm. I could even stretch it to 10 because we've got a full moon. So
right. Okay. So we're looking at a pretty intense week.
Yeah, 10. I think we are. Okay. With the sign change of the nodes. Now, that's a longer play, but we'll talk about that when we get to Tuesday. But yeah, I think we're talking about what could be a week that people are going to feel. So I'm glad that we're talking about this together. And let's just make sure that we know the context of the rest of the chart first. So we're talking about one of the biggest themes of the year, especially these first 5 months of the year, is Jupiter being at home. And I'm saying that from the ancient perspective, because we know that Neptune rules Pisces and so does Jupiter. And guess what? They're both in there together. So that is a big overriding theme. Another one that everybody is talking about for 2022 is the nodes changing signs. And we'll talk about this more in depth, but that happens this week. Hmm. And another big theme of the year is that Saturn and Uranus never get farther than 10 degrees apart from that square. So, and then they come back to exactly the same degree in October. So to me, those are the three big themes. And this week, Uranus stations to go direct from its long retrograde. That seems like it's been 3 years in retrograde, but we're going direct again on Tuesday. And then, of course, we have a sun sign change because it's Aquarius season starting on Wednesday. So we have a very busy week this week, especially, again, boom, 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 first 3 days. But I'm curious when we talked last week, you mentioned that you had spoken to a number of astrologers about 2022 predictions and forecasts. And I'm just curious, from that wonderful collection of knowledge and wisdom, what were some of the things that from those many interviews that bubbled up for you?
You know, one of the themes that I continue to come back to that was mentioned many different times in many different ways is the need for us to simplify. So as things continue to have a pretty high degree of intensity, as we're being asked to really strip away anything in our lives that we don't truly value. So focusing on those things that we actually truly value and spending time getting clear on what those things actually are, and then making sure that our lives are a true expression of that value system. You know, whatever that is, that stood out hugely to me. So that was simplifying, you know, getting rid of the things that are just not necessary, saying no a lot more, and making sure that we're not wasting our energy and really channeling and focusing our energy in the places that we really value and believe in.
Well, I think in the context of that, and of course, one of the other things that we could put as a foundational thing for this week is really this is our first week with Mercury in retrograde, or as somebody who has a young child was saying, Mercury is in Gatorade right now. So
that's cute. I also use Mercury's upgrade. It's word Mercury upgrade.
Yeah.
I like to use that as well.
There we go. That. That's good. I like that. So we do have Mercury now. Remember, Mercury went retrograde on Friday morning. And when planets slow down, they get to their strongest amplitude, if you will. So we had a lot of Mercury energy on Friday and Saturday. Now, Sunday, Monday, as we begin the week, where that energy is starting to fade a little bit. But here we go, kicking off into our first full week of Mercury retrograde. Can we change the intensity to a 12? Do I see any hands out there? Anybody want to go higher?
You guys will have
to let us know in the comments how the intensity factor is for you these couple of days, the first part of the week. So the full moon, speaking of, let's roll on into Monday now. I think that's pretty much sets the stage of the big picture. So we'll bring the helicopter back down and let's zoom in, starting with Monday. So the full moon takes place at 6:48 p.m. and the moon will be in Cancer. Now, right after the 6:48 full moon, the moon goes void, of course, until it changes signs, because it is at 27 degrees 50 minutes. It will change to Leo at 11:02 p.m. Monday night. So right after the full moon, if you're doing a full moon ceremony, have it done by 6:48 p.m. Right? You don't want to be thinking, well, I'll do it sometime that evening, or you'll be sitting in front of a dead moon waiting to move into Leo. So one of the things that I do like about this full moon, obviously, is that it is at home in Cancer. So that is going to heighten the sensitivities and the awareness and the perceptions of your intuition, because the moon and Cancer together combined give us this deep connection inside. It's the picture of our soul. It's the picture of our subconscious. It's the picture of our eternal being that was and always is. We're just a mechanism of breathing and taking up space on Earth. That's what this is. The real us is represented metaphorically and archetypically in astrology by the moon and Cancer, of course, being its ruling sign. So there's a really cool dynamic there. So what's going to be really heightened, we're going to have this very heightened attunement to our soul if we're listening. And that's only amplified by what you mentioned a few minutes ago, Jupiter in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces, the two co-rulers in this sign of also spirituality, intuition, the dreams, things that we would envision for our lives. So you see how powerful this full moon is going to be? And are you guys doing any kind of a moon ceremony today?
Oh my gosh, I was just going to tell you. So we do our ceremonies on the new moon for the inner circle. But I am actually hosting, we're doing a bunch of moms at my children's homeschool community have come together to create a rite of passage experience for our young women, like, you know, ages 10 to 14. And we are having our meeting tonight on the full moon. And the focus of this one is intuition.
Ooh.
So we're literally going to be exploring this concept of intuition and what it is and how do you know and what are tools you can use to tune into it and tap into it tonight. So as you're speaking, I'm going, oh my God, that's so perfect. It's exactly what we'll be exploring.
I would love to know how that goes. I hope that you'll find something in your many venues to put that out, because that would be really cool to see how this group perceives tonight's energy.
Yes. And the other, I mean, these are young girls, you know, so it's going to be so fun to explore with them. And the other thing is this group, this rite of passage thing that we're creating for them, it feels so aligned with my soul path. You know, it's like, I'm so energized by it. I'm so passionate about it. So as I'm listening to you speak too, it sounds like our individual soul paths, there are revelations for us around this full moon that can help us, you know, stay on that Google Maps, so to speak, and make sure that we're still on that path or help us align with that path even more. So pay attention to the conversations you're having, pay attention to the intuitions that are and the ideas that are coming through, and probably spend some time in quiet, right? Some time in stillness.
You know, you just nailed what I was kind of thinking next. So thank you for that perfect lead-in, because let's not forget something about that Neptunian Piscean energy, and that is that it also rules addictions. It's kind of like we have a choice to make, and that choice is between the fogginess or the masquerade of substances that could become addictive versus the, and I mean, get this, really get this, hyper sensitivity and power to that which is in our soul that is alive for us right now during this particular time in history. I would suggest, if I may, that even today, tomorrow, that you might choose to set things aside even for 48 hours.
I mean, we could even be talking about our phones, right? The addiction to our media. I mean, exactly. Our, you know, our social media, whatever it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It could be codependency on another person.
Right.
It's whatever you need in order to function aside from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was you, a candle in your journal in a room with no music, how comfortable are you in that environment? Because as you said, spending time in silence is the way to tune in. And that's getting harder and harder to do. And I really didn't appreciate this until I got in the van and I'm listening to all the road noises. I mean, it's not only that we're bombarded with noise inside, we're now bombarded with it outside.
Yeah, we are.
So, you know, to think to go to the beach and meditate in quiet silence or go into the woods and meditate in quiet silence, it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
When I was up in North Carolina, I'd go up on the Blue Ridge Parkway and 3 miles away, you know, down the road.
Yes. It's a true test if you can stay calm,
it's
right?
Everywhere, yeah. You know, yeah. So we have to, I don't know. I mean, there's we have to get tuned into this. And here's why it's so important. In 422, we talked about Pluto and Saturn. That takes 250 years to go around. Pluto does. Neptune takes 165. So in the last 2 years, we won't talk about Pluto. Go back to 422 on that. But it takes 165 years for Neptune to get back to Pisces. So this is an incredible opportunity, Amanda, that only our generation has been given to experience Pluto in Capricorn. And then right after that, Pluto-Saturn conjunction, we have Neptune and Jupiter conjoining in Pisces. Do you see, can you feel the emotion of this, how the universe wants to light us up if we're willing?
Yes, for sure. Especially as things are breaking down with that Pluto Capricorn, it's like things are breaking down. We're losing our footing on foundation that felt so permanent. And so then we're having to open up to something new and totally different and create something new from that place.
We talked last week about the Bible, and you had mentioned wanting to kind of bridge the gap between the Bible and astrology. Mm-hmm. And actually Lynn, whose home I'm in, mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago that she had been presented consciously with Isaiah from the Old Testament. A couple of times, it had happened more than once for her, where she just had an awareness to look at Isaiah. And I'm thinking about one of the verses in Isaiah where God is looking down at the breakdown of society, and he's asking, who can I send to my people to give them my message? And there's a great response from Isaiah, so humble. He said, here am I, Lord, send me. That's kind of the energy. That's what we're picking up from that mystic rectangle, from tonight's full moon, from Jupiter in Pisces, is if we align our hearts according to that energy, we're just saying to the cosmic greatness, to the one source, to God, to whatever your chosen verbiage is, here am I, send me. Mm-hmm. I'm there to pick up the pieces. Okay, now let's roll into tomorrow, Tuesday, January 18th. I know people will be watching this. We'll just say the dates from here on, all right? So Tuesday, January 18th, we have Uranus going direct at 10:26 a.m. Again, when a planet slows down to make the turn from either direct going into retrograde or, as is happening tomorrow or Tuesday, Uranus is moving from retrograde going direct at about 10:30 in the morning. It gets very powerful. So we've already got Mercury in retrograde. Now we've got Uranus slowing down. Yes, turn your electronics off. Why would you want to have anything on? Mm. Be careful. You know, there are times in astrology when you look at certain things and you just realize a little extra caution could be okay here. And this would be one of them. Because Uranus can bring surprises. That's one of its favorite manifestations. So there could be something around it going direct, and it might be a little bit surprising or challenging. I'm planning on being on the road, coming back from Texas to Florida, and I will be extra careful in the car. It will be for sure. All right, now let's talk about the nodes, because that's the next thing that happens, is at 1:49 p.m., the true nodes of the moon move into new signs, which they will occupy for about the next 18 months. The north node will be in the sign of Taurus, and the south node will be in the sign of Scorpio. So one of the things that we know Scorpio does is it will take you deep, and it will bring things up and out. So I definitely think that we could be on the alert, the observation for things to show their metal or show their colors over the next year and a half under this configuration. And I thought about this related to both sides of energy, because we are dealing with the polarity of the nodes, the south node representing unresolved karma that comes forward into our lives, or over the next 18 months, into our culture. There are going to be a lot of babies, millions of babies born in 2022 and 2023 with their south node in Scorpio and their north node in Taurus. And they're going to be experiencing this dilemma for their whole lives. The Scorpio tension that could even result in riots or outbreaks of various kinds and signs of anger, very Mars-dominated, or the Plutonian archetype, if you will, of death and rebirth. That's the shadow side. That's the karma that came forward. The positive side is Taurus, harmony, balance, Zen, Om, quiet forests, silent beaches where we sit in the evening at sunset and listen to the waves crashing ashore. And literally, we find that calm that we can't get anywhere else. That's the solution. So that tension, if you will, along those lines, wanting to expose it, wanting to bury it, wanting to uncover it, wanting to challenge it, versus, will you just chill out? You know, will you just chill pill? And that's going to be for society as well as for you and for me. So that's what we're up against on the nodes for the next 18 months.
So that's for us personally. If you don't know your North and South node, this would be a great time to just look it up. You can actually, you don't even need to know your birth time. I mean, there's probably a few exceptions to that, but if you just look and put your birthday in your favorite search engine, you will be able to find out what your South and your North node are. And then take these ideas of the kind of the karmic challenges that you come into this lifetime with being resolved by the positive aspect of that North Node sign. And so you can do that exploration. So, but to bring it back to this week, we're talking about collectively. So for all humans on the planet, there is a shift from the Gemini Sagittarius nodal aspect to Taurus and Scorpio. So we're now shifting in energy here, and we'll be exploring this for the next 18 months. And Exactly. This week is when we like officially kick it off. I know we had some dabbling in it last year, but this week is when it's officially moved into Taurus and Scorpio, and it will be there for the next 18 months.
You know, yes. And that's a great point too. It is game on, right? Game on now. And when we look at these slower movers in the chart, this one being one of those, that they are more thematic. And then when we look at the faster movers, the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, etc., even the sun to a degree, they are faster movers and they are the triggers. So they trigger the bigger themes. So yes, we're changing themes on Tuesday.
Great. All right. So we've talked about the full moon. We've talked about the nodal shift. We've talked about Mercury retrograde. Is there anything else for the week that we need to be paying attention to?
Well, the other big one is Wednesday, and that is Aquarius season. Obviously, the sun enters Aquarius Wednesday at 9:40 p.m. So you are right at the end of Capricorn, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm on the final day of Capricorn. Yes. If I'd been born later in the day, I would be in Aquarius, which I have Aquarius rising. So I feel like I have a lot of that energy anyways. But yeah.
Are you a 29 cap?
Yes.
Do you experience and feel the Aquarian tendencies?
Yes, but it's hard for me to differentiate whether or not that's because of my rising sign or because I'm on the cusp. Mm-hmm. I don't really know, but absolutely. I mean, my kind of infatuation with creating community and even using technology to create community, and my love of astrology, which I also know is Aquarian. It's like there's so many things in my life that are really Aquarian, but I also feel that closure of that Capricorn energy too, like really wanting to master that Capricorn energy in these final degrees of the sign.
It's almost like when you told your story on our podcast of finding Astrology Hub and then your background to be able to actually do something with it. It's almost like the perfect person for the perfect time for the perfect opportunity. It's a wonderful story. So, that could only be bundled in exactly what you just said, the structure and foundation, the determination to climb the mountain, and yet the innovation and the seeing things from different perspectives that you're always bringing to Astrology Hub and using technology brilliantly. This whole business is an online business.
Yeah. Before that was a thing, I remember when I used to explain what I do, people were like, what do you do? It's all virtual. And it's like, yeah, like I haven't even met in person most of my Astrology Hub employees. Like we've only engaged virtually, which is just, even Jamie, like it's astounding to me. It's like, whoa, But yeah, that it was always like seeing that, oh, wow, there is a huge potential here. We could bring astrology to the entire world. Like, it doesn't have to be confined by geography at all. We can actually bring it to anyone, anywhere, which is, it's thrilling, really.
Well, I would say over this next month, from Wednesday forward, start to look at ways that you can use new things innovatively in your own life. Find where Aquarius is in your own chart. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is for everybody. Yeah. Find ways that you can be an innovator. Be the challenging rebel to some of the status quo. And think of ways that you might do that in your own life over the next 30 days. Great application of Aquarian energy for all of us.
Love it.
Mention that we would wrap up quickly. So the moon enters Virgo on Thursday. So you're going to want to organize your sock drawer. Thursday and Friday.
Maybe you can do that simplification project on Thursday.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Get the charities queued up to show up at your house on Thursday and Friday, and you start chunking stuff out.
So great. Yeah.
You'll have 2 days of that, and then the moon goes into Libra on Saturday night at 5:02. So your Saturday night events, and all these times that I've given today are Eastern time zone U.S. times, by the way. So Saturday night, we'll have a more balanced Libra. So again, a great way to kind of close up the week with the moon in Libra on Saturday night and into Sunday. And then the one aspect on Sunday is Mercury in retrograde conjoins the sun in Aquarius. That'll be interesting.
Mercury retrograde conjoins sun in Aquarius. Any translation of that?
You know, what I think about when I think of Mercury and the sun in Aquarius conjoining, you know, who is the person, and her name is slipping my mind at the moment, but she did the great book that's so popular about counting to five.
I don't know her name. Yes. But it's
the CNN reporter.
The pausing.
Is it what?
Are you talking about pausing? Like when instead
talking
of
talking about pausing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That basically, when Mercury in retrograde conjoins the sun like that, and we're in Aquarius, realize you could have a tendency to be a little bit sharp.
Mm.
You could bite.
Okay. So pause.
Exactly. Yeah. Now that's the shadow. That's the shadow. Let's look at the positive side. Is you could have an inspiration of genius of something that you need to do. Remember, we were talking about look at those things that you might come up with. Well, Mercury is all about knowledge. Mercury is about learning. Mercury is about communication. It rules technology as well. So why don't you maybe think about something in the past, some idea that had been smoldering that maybe you didn't move forward? And as you do your meditation under that Libra moon and you're feeling balanced, that maybe that idea is worth revisiting. And maybe it sounds better on Sunday night.
Really nice. Okay. So it sounds like, in terms of a recap of the week, we have a very action-packed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that we have these opportunities to connect in with intuition, with those bigger picture dreams and goals that we, heightened attunement to our soul, mystic perception, that also we can feel like we're at a choice point, especially at around our tendencies to distract ourselves with any sort of addictions, which could be something like your phone or, you know, the internet or alcohol or, you know, any sort of addiction that you might have. There's a choice point to either indulge that desire to distract and sort of check out, and or really get intimate with your soul and spend some time in silence, spend some time alone, spend some time in inquiry about what it is that you're here to do and why. I love this "Here Am I, Send Me," this idea that we talked about. You also talked a lot about on Tuesday, finding something new, like finding something new to renew and revitalize your life. And that could be revisiting something that you've thought about before, but bringing it in now. So there's this opportunity to really like infuse some new energy into your life. And you brought up this idea of old structures, moving into a place where we're creating something new and off the wall, and then moving into the spiritual side of life. And so I love that, like you know, trajectory that we're exploring as well. Tuesday also, we have Uranus going direct, so there could have some caution, exercise caution as you're moving about your life. There could be some sort of surprise, some sort of challenge. You talked about then the nodal shift, which is big, and there being potentially political upheavals as we're in this 18-month cycle, potentially some economic recession, but that was tied more to Saturn Uranus square coming back into alignment. But there's an opportunity for us to explore new and innovative ways to be. So challenging the status quo and changing, the way we've been doing things. And on Thursday, the moon is entering Virgo. Great day to do your simplification. And then Saturday night, moon into Libra, which are just some slight changes to pay attention to. And then Sunday, we have an opportunity to pause. Make sure you're pausing when you're in any sort of tension situations with people. And before you react, take some time and space. And then this is an opportunity to an inspiration of your genius. So spending some time to think again about these maybe older ideas that you had at one point and bringing them back into your life and exploring them actually throughout the entire Aquarian season. But we're going to have an opportunity to do that on Sunday. Is that a pretty good recap?
Pretty good recap.
Anything you want to add in there?
Well, I think that as you were summarizing it, the thing that came to my mind was I'm so thankful that the universe gave us this full moon to kick all of that energy off with. Mm-hmm. Because with everything that's going on around us, the one thing that we have is we have this rock, and that is our intuitive guidance through it. And that's what we're connecting with first this week. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like let all the other stuff happen. Our course is set. We know where we're headed. We're being guided. We're being led. We are the folks that are trying to live consciously. And with that, we are going to find our way through. And I think that's just a beautiful metaphor.
It's so interesting you say that, Thomas, because in deciding that we wanted the winter season for our young ladies to be all about intuition, that is the reason. Is because if they can cultivate, and so many of them already have that connection, it's really more that we lose it, right? So if we can help them maintain and really cultivate and value that, that no matter what happens in their life, if they can always come back to that point of internal guidance as they navigate their life, it's like, it doesn't matter so much what's happening all around. You always can come back to that anchor point. So exactly what you just said. It sounds like we all have that this week, this opportunity to really like pay attention to that and do things that you feel cultivate it, which I know for a lot of people, astrology actually helps to confirm intuition and strengthen that muscle. Cause it's like, God, I was already feeling that. And now the astrology is actually pointing it out that yes, what I was feeling and sensing is actually my path is actually laid out on that Google map. I love how you say it like that. So Thomas, thank you so much for being here with us and helping us to navigate this really big week. And we just appreciate you so much. A reminder of the theme is the go deep or go home. But don't be afraid to go deep into that exploration of your soul. And there's probably lots of gifts there. And we're looking at a pretty intense scale. So we have a 10 and you like peaked up to a 12. I think that was Monday, Tuesday. So yeah, amazing. Thank you so much for being here with us. I feel so blessed to have found you and your work and to have this opportunity to introduce you to the Astrology Hub community. Everyone, please go check out episode 422 and you'll get to learn more about Thomas. And we have a waitlist open for Christopher Renstrom's upcoming course, The Cosmic Calendar. So this is going to be taking your chart and actually mapping it with the astrology of the year so that you know when to hit the gas button and go for the gas pedal and really go for things when to hold back and do more of an internal process, plus lots of other amazing insights that you'll get as you map your chart with the year ahead. You can go to astrologyhub.com/cosmic waitlist to get on the waitlist for that class. It's going to be happening in March. We don't have registration open yet, but if you do put your name on the waitlist, we will let you know when registration is open. Okay, Thomas, thank you so much. I can't wait to have you back here with us on the weekly weather and in other ways at Astrology Hub. Thanks to all of you for being here, for being a part of our community, and as always, for making astrology a part of your life. We'll catch you on the next episode. Take care, everyone.